racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, it's match play here in Austin, Jay. But before we begin, a little surprise for the Randolph family.
I'm always pleased to say any good words about the Randolphs, junior and senior, favorite people, St. Louis.
Ben Crenshaw saying hello to you and your dad. I thought it was a special touch. He had nothing but great things to say about you guys.
Well, he's a grand fella, as you know, and a historian of the game, and just a fantastic player, and a real credit to our game. I've been lucky to be around him a number of times. Senior, obviously, more than me, but it's great to hear from a legend down there. I'm sure it's a big week in Austin.
Yeah, it really is. And before we get to the match play championship, why don't we recap, Jay, what I think was a spectacular victory last week at the Valspar Championship. I mean, Paul Casey does something, and you're a fine historian of the game, Jay. And I spoke to Paul just the other day when we got here to Austin. I happened to run into him, but I said to him, when you accomplish something that's never, ever been done, and you're in the world of golf, it's extra special. And, of course, I was referring to the fact that nobody has ever been able to defend their title at the Valspar Championship, yet Casey was able to get it done.
Yeah, you know, there are spots or places where you don't seem to see repeat winners. This obviously has been one. I don't know why other places you see guys win multiple times or defend their title two or three years in a row. Paul Casey, with really a workmanlike performance, the kind of golf he likes to play, and we'll talk more about it, but, you know, his third win in the United States, a guy who's won 13 times worldwide, at times it makes you wonder, Bob, why he doesn't win more often.
Yeah, it's a good point, Jay, because certainly extremely talented. Here's what Paul Casey had to say about that victory, and this is after he arrived here in Austin to play in the match play championship.
With a short week, a little bit tired, would like to have a day off to recover, but probably a good thing just to crack on. Last week was brilliant, so enjoyable. You know, what a tough golf course that is. But unlike last year was like this huge kind of relief and quite emotional. It was last Sunday was just exciting and felt great and kind of felt like the sort of golfer, you know, I certainly made mistakes, everybody did, but felt like golf I was playing 10 years ago when I was in my 30s rather than my 40s.
Pretty amazing stuff that he can produce the goods. But getting back to a point that you referenced, Jay, sometimes you look at the body of work of Paul Casey and say maybe, just maybe, he could have gotten more out of his game. But still, he's winning now in his 40s. That's pretty remarkable.
No, and he's kept himself in very good shape. He seems to have the essentials it takes on a mental aspect. Maybe length hurts him a little bit, but that's the thing the other day they were showing, he was hitting it past Dustin. I mean, so I'm not sure what it is that prevents him from winning more. Early on in his career, he played a little bit more on the European Tour. Of course, he went to Arizona State in college, came over the pond, but world-class player, and as somebody said to me Monday out of Normandy, why can't Paul Casey win the Masters? I said, I don't know why he couldn't.
No, it's a valid point. I mean, he certainly has the talent. I remember back, and you helped me out here, Jay Randolph Jr. There was a period where Paul Casey literally fell in disfavor with the American fans. He made some comments that he wasn't happy about after he made them, but it kind of stuck to him for you know, a couple of years anyway, and he wasn't very well liked over here, and maybe that helped hurt his chances of winning more earlier.
I don't think there's any question about it. Back in 2004, when he had those comments about the Ryder Cup team, it really kind of turned a lot of people, you know, in the United States off, and we get high and mighty sometimes, and you know, put our flag out in front of our house, and that's how we are. But again, a really good guy, a low key kind of guy, a family guy, a real strong relationship with Peter Costas for a long time. You know, the only thing now lacking, and it's been that way for a while with Paul Casey, is a major championship.
Good point. We'll see if he can change that. In that final round, he certainly had to play very gritty. He started with the lead. He finished with the lead. I alluded to it earlier. First successful defense of a title at Valspar also coincides with the first successful defense by Paul in his career. He was very happy about that aspect. Good play by Louis Oosthuizen also, Jay.
Yeah, really good play over the weekend by him. You had the long hitter, Kokrak, who had a chance to make par on the 72nd hole, did not make the putt. But those guys had valiant efforts, strong efforts. Kokrak looking for his first victory ever. And Louis, another guy, as you start looking towards this week at the match play and at the Masters. Dustin Johnson, again, around the lead. Rahm in, then again, around the lead, not getting it done, both tie for six, but again, continuing that solid play. I mean, these guys aren't finishing 32nd or 28th. They're playing really well and finishing the top 10s as we head towards the start of the major championship season.
Well, you had an early eye on John Rahm when he was in college, and then when he turned pro, you were the first one to alert me to keep an eye on this kid, John Rahm. He's going to be the real deal. He certainly has validated that prediction by you, Jay, and you're right. He, you know, you look up on that leaderboard week after week, and you see that name, John Rahm.
I'm almost fearful in a sense that he may win the match play this week. But, and here's why I say it. You know, he didn't get it done the week before. And then, you know, you look at what he did this week, not kind of sealing the deal over the weekend. I kind of feel like I'd rather have him going into the Masters hungry as a cat. But his good play may prevent that. He may win this week.
Well, he certainly has all the tools to win. He hits it a country mile. He's very courageous. Really has the game that I think is ideally suited to this wonderful Austin Country Club.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
All right, time now for us to focus our attention on the Dell Technologies Match Play Championship right here at Austin Country Club. And Jay, I'm going to ask you to help me out here for our average listener. You know, this used to be single elimination. It was basically the same format that the NCAA uses to decide their champion. But now they've kind of gone into this round robin type thing. I understand some of the reasons, but it's certainly, to me, not as exciting as it used to be. Either you win or you went home. How are they playing it this year? And they have played it this way now for 3 or 4 years. Help explain that to our listeners.
Again, the players are broken into 16, four different pods, if you will. And in those first 3 days, they play a match against the other players in their pod, and based on wins or points, whoever has the most points comes out of that pod, and then they form a bracket with 16 players and proceed with match play from that form. I understand it like you, Bob. They're good points and bad points. The last couple hours, I've been looking over the bracket and trying, you know, once I make a pick, I start to talk myself out of a pick. I kind of like the fact, you know, at least these guys are playing for 3 days. And it also lets the people on site potentially, you know, there's somebody that's going to see Tiger Woods this week play golf for the first time ever. And they may get to do it for three straight days as opposed to one.
Yeah, I understand that. I just really relished the, you know, that Wednesday. I called it the single most exciting day in all of golf because, yeah, you know, 32 matches going on at once. You had to win to even survive. I just thought it was fantastic. The powers to be, mainly TV, I would say, certainly have altered that. And so many things happening here. I tell you, we have to, right now, Jay, because he's somebody that could win this event in a heartbeat, and that's Dustin Johnson, and he tells us why he likes match play.
Well, you're just playing against the guy that you're on the golf course with. You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, any of the other guys are doing. So, you know, it's just you, and it's you versus him. And so it's different. You know, we don't play a lot of match play events, but it's, you know, and if you have a bad hole, you can just put it in your pocket and walk to the next one too. So that's, you know, that's definitely something different. And but it's something that I enjoy. I like playing match play, and, you know, you know, with this field, you got to bring your game every day if you want to win your matches. But you know, you just hopefully that the day that you don't have it all, that you can somehow get by.
He keeps it very simple. I'll say that much, Jay.
Let me get through whatever time that was. I think it was 50 seconds that he's talking about match play. The bottom line is, you know why he likes match play? He's an intimidator. When you play a guy like Dustin Johnson, you're intimidated. I don't care what level you're at. And that's why I think you look at the best match play players, they're either really, they're one of two ways. They're really just steady as can be, or they're one of those confident type players. It seems to translate well into match play, and Dustin Johnson's game and his presence on a golf course and trying to beat him and his athleticism is a huge factor in match play. And one of the reasons why he beat Jon Rahm 2 years ago in the final.
Yeah, he certainly is very confident. He looks confident. He walks confident.
Yep.
Speaking of confidence, we also had an opportunity, Jay, to listen to Jordan Spieth. He went to school here at UT, fond memories of the Austin Country Club. And he shares with us the state of his game and specifically on his putting.
I feel good about my game right now. I just got off to a bad start at Players, but it's been progressing nicely. But yeah, I mean, match play provides freedom to feel like less protective swings and more trust in kind of if you are working on something. So, yeah, I put in a lot of really good work this last week. I mean, I grinded it out and started to figure out some things. So time will tell, but it should be better and better as each week goes on.
Well, he's got the positive attitude going, Jay, but, you know, as they say, the proof is in the pudding. We'll have to wait and see how he is putting. I think one thing holding Jordan back, and give me your take on this, Mr. Randolph. He putted so well that he almost, like, set the bar so high for himself. I don't know if it's realistic to think that he ever can get back to that level.
Well, not on as a consistent basis. I don't think you can expect that. And I think people should have kind of sense that, you know, after that incredible start. But you do wonder what is going on, why he at times seems almost non-competitive with the rest of the field. You know, he'll have two good rounds, two bad rounds, or one good round, one bad round, miss a cut. You know, this is becoming a trend, more of a trend than just a happenstance.
So we'll have to keep a close eye on him. Obviously, he does possess, you know, an ideal prescription for his game, which is Augusta driving down Magnolia Lane. He is going to play next week at Valero. So it's this week, next week, and then the Masters. If anything can turn Jordan Spieth's game around, I got to believe playing in the Masters is the right prescription.
Well, and it's a good situation with kind of home state for two in a row before you get into Augusta. You know, a lot of good mojo can happen in the next 15 to 16 days for this guy. And I want it to happen. The reason I seemingly bring it up all the time is because it's there. And it's something that, you know, I think people are going to continue to talk about. And I just hope it doesn't mount up too much for him. And he's got enough game. You know, we'll see. It seems like it's the driving and the putting, and he's got to put it all together for 4 days or for five as it relates to the match play.
Well, Jay, you mentioned the home state of Jordan Spieth here in Texas. Just a little bit before we started doing In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, had an opportunity to spend a little time with Tom Kite. And the thing that amazes me about Tom Kite is that Tom Kite from Austin, Texas, obviously grew up under Harvey Penick, the legend here. We're going to talk more about Tinsley Penick, his son, with Ben Crenshaw coming up. But Tom Kite never won a golf tournament in the state of Texas. And the only thing along those state lines that surprises me more, Jay, is Tom Watson. He never won a tournament in Florida.
Yeah, I think that Kite may even surprise me more to a certain extent. Obviously, both states have multiple events and did when those guys played. But, you know, Kite was such a consistent player. And you know, I saw a picture earlier today of young Ben Crenshaw and young Tom Kite that just brought a smile to my eyes.
Brought a smile to your eyes, Jay, and came up with a couple of things in preparation for this Dell Technologies match play that I think are worth mentioning. First off, I was down on the range waiting for Justin Rose, who I got to believe is a strong contender to win the Masters, when I was approached by Mark Fulcher, longtime caddy for Justin Rose, underwent heart surgery a few months back, been recovering in London. But here's the extent of preparation. Mark Fulcher's not caddying here this week, but he said to Janice and I that he wanted to come here and get all the good to see you back, Mark, nice to have you back. He said, I wanted all those distractions eliminated before we get to Augusta, where I am going to be caddying, and I didn't want people coming up to me, wishing me well, taking away from the concentration of Justin Rose. I thought that was spectacular, and it really indicates the depth of the modern-day caddy and how far they go. Fact number two, Jay, that'll bring a smile to your face, Keith Mitchell. He wins at Honda. Last week, guess where he is? He's playing at Augusta, getting ready for his first Masters. Also playing at Augusta, nothing to do with Keith Mitchell, is Ian Poulter. Now, they go to the Atlanta airport. They get on a plane to fly to Austin, Texas. Who's on that plane? None other than Ian Poulter and Keith Mitchell. Keith Mitchell says to Ian Poulter, Ian, with all your experience, I've watched you in match play, and boy, in match play, you're one of the best that I've ever seen. Can you give me a couple of pointers on how to play better in match play? Ian says, sure. They spend the entire flight together. we get here. There's a drawings party last night. Who does Keith Mitchell play in the first match? Ian Poulter.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Bob. And let's start there. We're going to look at the pods, and we're going to pick a player each to move forward this fun week you and Janice are going to have in Austin. We'll start with that Tony Finau, Ian Poulter, Kevin Kisner, and Poulter's flight mate and master's companion, Keith Mitchell. I'm going with Ian Poulter.
I'm going with Kevin Kisner.
Nicely done. We've got Brooks Koepka, Alex Noren, Ha Tung Lee, and I don't know, Tom Lewis, I guess, T. Lewis.
Well, I can't pick T. Lewis, that's for sure. and I can't pick Ha Tung Lee. So I'm only left with two, and I forgot which two you told me.
Koepka and Noren.
I'm going with Alex Noren.
Then we've got Tommy Fleetwood, Louis Oosthuizen, Kyle Stanley, and young Ben Ahn, who's been putting his name on leaderboards.
You go first.
I'm going with Kyle Stanley. He had success here a year ago. I think Tommy Fleet and Louis are looking ahead. I'm going with Kyle Stanley.
I'm going with Tommy Fleetwood because he shook my hand on the range just an hour ago.
That's about how it comes down to picking these players. Bryson DeChambeau, Mark Leishman, your buddy Appy Barnrot, and Russell Knox. Who's coming out of there? I'm going with Leishman.
Well, I tell you, Appy Barnrot is tough to identify and say his name. I saw him in shorts today. I had no idea who he was. I'm going to pick Appy Barnrot to advance.
Well, he did last year. Then you got Francesco Molinari, Webb Simpson, Thorberg Olesen, and Satoshi Kodara.
Webb Simpson gave a very inspirational talk earlier today that I heard great things about, and it was in conjunction with Paul Lasorie. I'm going with Simpson.
I'll take Francesco. Paul Casey, last week's winner, Cameron Smith, Charles Howell III, and Abraham Answer.
I got to go with Charles Howell III. He's playing some great golf, got a victory after a long absence from the winner's circle. Howell's my man.
He's made the match play the proper, the field of 16, two out of the last 3 years. I go with Charles Howell III. Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Billy Ho, Billy Horschel, and Kevin Na. That's an interesting bracket.
It really is. You could pick any one of those four. I think Billy Horschel is playing tough enough right now to advance.
I was going to go Billy Ho, but I went Bubba Watson. And then Justin Rose, Gary Woodland, Eddie Pepperell, and Emiliano Grillo.
Well, I wouldn't want to try and say that last name either, so I can't pick him. I'm going to go with Eddie Pepperell, who will have so much fun here. He laughs about everything.
I'm going to go with the Grillo guy. Over on the other side, you got Dustin Johnson, Hideki Sun, Hideki Matsuyama, Brendan Grace, and Ches Reavy getting in at 55.
Well, Brendan Grace has the wee man, Greg Connolly, a longtime caddy for Martin Kaymer. I'm going with Brendan Grace.
I got DJ, Patrick Reed, Sergio, Shane Lowry, and Andrew Putnam.
Wow. I know very little about Andrew Putnam. I'm picking him.
All right, there you go. Janice is going to review all these picks. Sir, I'm going with Sergio. Tyrrell Hatton, Xander Schauffele, Rafi Cabrera-Bello, and Lee Westwood in at 62.
I was down on the range. I said, Lee Westwood, who are you going against? He said, Schauffele. I said, well, that'll be well cooked. I'm picking Westwood.
All right, I'm going with Tyrrell Hatton. He seems to play well in match play events. You got Rombo, you got Kuchar, you got J.B. Holmes, and Mr. Kim.
Let me go with J.B. Holmes.
I'm going to go with Rombo, but I don't think he's going to win the whole shooting match. Justin Thomas, Keegan Bradley, Matthew Wallace, and Beauregard.
Well, I know it's not going to be Beauregard, so I'm going with Matt Wallace.
I got to go with Justin Thomas, Bob. I think he's going to have a good week. Jason Day, Phil Mickelson, Henrik Stenson, and Jim Furyk, who his recent play has put him in this event.
I got to pick Jim Furyk because I just sat down, had a little lunch with Fluff Cowan, and thanked him for what he showed us at the Players' Championship with the performance of his player, Jim Furyk.
All right, next time, get the carton of smokes he owes me. Tiger Woods, Patrick Cantlay, Brant Snedeker, and Aaron Wise. Tiger Woods, Bob.
If I didn't pick Tiger Woods, he'd have somebody assassinate me. I'm going with Woods.
I'm going with Brant Snedeker. And then finally, Rory, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Mr. Harding, and Luke List.
Wow. Well, I picked McIlroy to win the Players. Can he win this and then win the Masters? Wow. Let's go with McIlroy.
I got to go with Rory. I think he's going to go advance a couple of rounds, but not get it. I don't want him to get it done because I want him to win at Augusta. When we return, do you like the flag stick in or out? Well, Ben Crenshaw gives his opinion to Bob right after this.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this little gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Our next guest certainly doesn't need any introduction, but he stands here, I'm sure, with a heavy heart, but a heart filled with joy. The passing of Tinsley Pinnock, the son of Harvey, this past week. A great man in his own right.
Oh, it's ironic that we're having this wonderful tournament at Austin Country Club of what, you know, his father and the son spent their profession. We're right here in their atmosphere. You know, we lost a good one, Bob. You knew Tinsley, and you knew his immediate friend Sonny Rhodes and people that meant a lot to Tinsley. But Tinsley had so many qualities that the father had, Harvey. Very kind, sweet man. Always had a ready laugh. He was a lot better player than people ever gave him credit for. He was a good golfer, really good. And he always, I don't think ever suffered with saying, they said, I'm not quite as good a teacher as my father. And I don't think that he ever thought less of himself for that. Nobody ever thought of that about Tinsley. He knew the game very well, and but he enjoyed life. He had a wonderful wife, Betty, and his friends will miss him, but he was a very kind person, never had a bad word for anybody.
No wonder Ben Crenshaw was one of his dear friends. Tinsley, he was just the best. Now I want to ask you something. And I'm going to preface this question by saying I'm talking with Ben. Never looked at a putt that he didn't think he could make, Crenshaw. Your take on the new rule with the flag stick in, you're regarded as one of the best putters ever to play this game. In your opinion, is it an advantage or is it a disadvantage to leave that flag stick in?
You won't believe this, Bob. The first professional tournament I ever watched, I was 10 years old, and I was watching Arnold Palmer win his third Texas Open in a row at Oak Hills in San Antonio, putting at the flag stick. And he putted. I can see it now. The sixth hole is a very downhill. he hit that putt really hard and it hit that flag stick and went in. And they changed the rule the following year. So I watched it as a really young kid. But it is a little strange after all this time to watch this. Now, some people really like it and some people don't. As a player, if I was in a tournament, I'd probably use it, and I'd definitely experiment because there's something about it. Maybe it gives you a little added confidence to hit the thing a little firmer. I don't know that, but on these greens they're faster today than when I played and when of other eras. But no, it's the rules there, and I think it's interesting that a wonderful player like Adam Scott just went right to it, and he's putting at the flag stick most of the time. And other players take it out, so it's preference, but it's there.
One last thing, and talking with Ben Crenshaw, a dear friend and certainly one of the most knowledgeable people about this sport. Your take, Ben, on what I'm witnessing is more and more young superstars in the game, but almost to a T, Ben, they're good people. They're good on the course. They're good off the course. They're good with the galleries. It's got to make you feel wonderfully well.
Oh, you bet it does. And it says a lot about the way that, first of all, they're brought up and the people, their coaches and who are influencing them. But those of us who, you know, love the game, have played it all our lives, we want to see that go on. And I tell you, some of these guys today are the most handsome, helpful, friendly guys, and it speaks volumes for our sport, of which we are proud. But wow, it makes us feel great that they're reaching people, reaching kids, reaching people of all ages. If you're not in golf, get in it. That's what Harvey Pinnick always wanted to do. He said, I want to teach people, but I want people to get in golf and I want them to stay there.
No words in that interview. Ben Crenshaw, thank you.
Good to see you. Thanks. Welcome to town.
Folks, you know, there's only been 3 head golf professionals at Austin Country Club in its 100-year history. That's incredible. He's Dale Morgan, the 3rd head professional, and you will hear his chat with Bob when we come back right after this.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Joining me now, the next gentleman I proudly refer to as a dear friend, longtime professional here at Austin Country Club, Dale Morgan. Dale, by the way, only the 3rd pro in a little over 100 years at Austin. Harvey Pinnick led the way. His son Tinsley followed, and Dale took over. Unfortunately, Tinsley left us this week, Dale. I know you have a lot of fond memories of Harvey and Tinsley, but Tinsley certainly was a great man in his own right.
Oh, you know, Bob, Tinsley was a fantastic gentleman, and I think that's the easiest way to put it. He was a true gentleman, and I was very fortunate to spend some time with him when I came on board over here and got to really see him and let him help me, really, from a mentoring standpoint and understanding private club world and what I needed to do to be successful. And, you know, the gratitude I have for him and the sadness I have for his loss is a lot.
Just a few minutes ago, Dale, before we did this interview, I was down on the range and fairly friendly with Henrik Stenson and started talking to him, and he mentioned, you know, what a special place Austin Country Club was, and I referenced the fact that they've only had three club professionals, and Henrik said, well, you know what that is, Bob? He said, simply put, that's old school. And I thought he hit the nail right on the head.
Well, very fortunate, and I think the club is very fortunate. We have a great group of members that are very loyal to their staff, and you know we've got some long term employees that have worked here for a long, long time, over 30 years in the locker room. Some of our kitchen employees are well over 30 years. So, you know, it's great. It's a great place to work. It's one of those places where you really feel like family when you come here to work. And I think that's why longevity is such a good thing at Austin Country Club, because they make us feel like part of the family.
Well, we're going to put you to work right now, Dale Morgan. For the players playing here in the Dell Technologies Match Play Championship, two or three things that you would pass on to a player if he came to you and said, give me a couple of secrets about Austin Country Club, what would Dale Morgan's advice be?
Great question. I think if we look at the past 3 years, what we've seen is kind of bombers win this golf course. But I think if I was talking to someone who had never played here before, I would tell them to be very, very careful pulling out a driver. Because one thing about this golf course, when you hit it a little bit offline, it is very, very hard to recover. And so I think the guy that wins this tournament this week is going to be the person that puts it in position and is able to attack the par fives when he needs to, some of the shorter par fours that some of these guys can drive now. And I think that's probably going to be the winner. At least that's the way it's been in the last 3 years. So a Dustin Johnson, a Rory McIlroy, and then you're not ever going to leave out a Tiger Woods, because, you know, this will be a fun golf course for Tiger to play.
Before we let you go, Dale Morgan, the head professional here at Austin Country Club, I don't think the general public is made aware enough of the sacrifices that the membership actually goes through in having a major event at their club. Certainly, there's a lot of rewards and in the fame that's attached to it, but the membership here really embraces this event.
They really do. It's amazing. You know, it's about 125 to 130 day build out for this event. So there is something happening almost every month at this club that's related to this event. And, you know, the members have really wrapped their arms around it. PGA Tour does a phenomenal job of getting into a very tight area, which is what we're in, and putting up some wonderful hospitality and being able to work around our membership as they continue to play the game. And we're only closed a couple weeks in the fall for overseeding, and then we close 2 weeks, one before this week and then the week of the tournament itself. So it's a one-month out of the members' lives to not be able to play that they have to sacrifice. But outside of that, they've really wrapped their arms around it, and they love the event.
Dale Morgan, if you know a better pro, get a hold of me, because I don't think one exists. Thanks, Dale.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.